Are we blessed, so incredibly blessed, to have the talent that we do in our church family to lead us week in, week out? Pastor Sean and the praise team, and thank you, Karen, so much for those words. We are blessed, so blessed. If you haven't already opened your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28, would you please join me there now? Deuteronomy 28. And as you turn to Deuteronomy 28, let me tell you, we're on the home stretch now with our series of sermons, Don't Forget. As we've traveled through the book of Deuteronomy, considering God's promises to His people Israel and those blessings and cursings and how they apply to us even today. So here we are in a topic today that it just didn't sound very nice. Considerable curses. I want us to consider those curses. But we might also call this passage today considerable choices. I want to emphasize the curse to get our attention. But you might also write beside there on your note sheet, choices. Considerable choices. Take a moment with me now. I know we're in church, and but this will be good. Come on. Take a moment with me, and don't say anything to anybody, but imagine with me the most amazing meal, your favorite thing you've ever had or wish to have to eat. Come on, think about it. You can close your eyes. You can leave your eyes open. Imagine the thing that, if it was going to be your last meal and you knew it was going to be your last meal, this is what I would eat. Imagine what it smells like. Yeah. Is anybody salivating yet? We're like Pavlov's dogs out here. Imagine, the taste of whatever that was. Yeah. And even the people around the table with you. Yeah, that's a good thing. I am so glad God gave us taste buds, right? And God gave creativity to all sorts of people to put all sorts of stuff together and make it taste better than it does alone. I mean, I'm so glad for that. I love to eat. You're going, yeah, right. But I do. Now, imagine this. Just the opposite. The nastiest, worst thing you can ever imagine eating. Maybe once upon a time somebody fooled you and said, here, taste this. Ha, ha, ha. Like I once had a friend, in quotes, that said, oh, these little peppers. I was at a Chinese restaurant. You know those skinny little peppers? She says to me, oh, these little peppers aren't bad. They're so small. They're not bad. And so, all the guys around the table are going, ha, ha, ha. But I'm trying to impress the girl anyhow. And I went, wah! Imagine, now that's bad, but imagine the worst thing you've ever had to eat. You've got the best on the one hand, the worst on the other. Now imagine both of them are sitting in front of you on a table. And I said, you could choose. Which one would you like, your favorite meal or the worst, nastiest thing you could ever imagine? How many of you are going to choose the favorite? Okay, yes. And any of you that would choose the nasty thing, you're either not paying attention or you're just being a jokester. We don't choose to eat nasty things. We choose to eat what is good. I wish it was that way with the way we lived our life. There are blessings that God promises His people that we recount here in Deuteronomy 28. There are also curses that are quite the opposite. They are reverse, and they result from a deliberate choice on God's behalf, but also a deliberate choice on the behalf of His people. So if you're able to, I'd ask you to stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word. We will not read the entirety of the chapter. If you do read the entirety of the chapter, you'll know why. There are some things in here that are completely objectionable. That's all I'll say, and we'll go back to our text. Deuteronomy 28:1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So here are all the blessings. Listen. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Those things will all be blessed. Verse 5, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but will flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounties, to send rain on the land, on your land in season, and to bless all the works of your hand. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God, and that I give you this day, and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. So this is the blessing portion, but pay attention carefully to the curses. Verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting, with fever and with inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze and the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder, and it will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. Let's pray. God, our Father, there's some pretty big things promised here. Great blessings and terrible cursings. And God, we want to understand what this means to us today. We pray that you help us understand by your Holy Spirit, that we would see the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience in our own life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Deuteronomy so often seems simple and straightforward. It seems black and white. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do this, you'll be cursed. If you don't do this, you'll be blessed. If you do that, you'll be cursed. So often it seems black and white, but it's not speaking just about the actions of our hands or the words of our mouth, but Deuteronomy, what it's getting at down deep is the motives and the desires of our heart. It's the sanctification and the holiness of who we are that comes out in what we do and in what we say. Let's look back at verse 1 there. Verse 1, as it's translated in the NIV, as I read to you, says, if you fully obey, careful, note that one there, fully, the Lord your God, and if you carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. I don't know about you, I'm reading this one, I'm going, okay, there's a few things there that make this difficult. Fully, carefully, and all. If I fully obey, if I carefully follow all his commands. And I kind of want to do a deal like this with God. I don't know about you. I'm kind of like, hey, God, I know you said if I fully obey, if I carefully follow all your commands, that I'll be high above all the nations in the earth. But you know, God, I really don't need to be high above all the nations. I'd like to be just high above some of the nations. And what if I kind of partially obey? And what if I sort of, not too carefully, but, you know, conscientiously follow? And not all your commands, because, you know, all your commands are really a drag, God. And I would much rather follow just about 7 or 8, you know, or, you know, the ones that fit me, God. And then I'll just be above some of the nations. Would that be okay, God? I mean, we want to do that kind of halfway covenant. We want to do that sort of bargaining with God. But do you see that here in Deuteronomy 1 or Deuteronomy 28? You don't. It says, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you. What a great thought. Not only will the blessings be on you, but they'll be with you. I mean, it's kind of like if you were a rock star and you had your posse, you know. You know, you got your publicist with you, you got your press relations people, you got your bodyguards, you got all the people in your band with you. You know, they're all with you and they're with you all the time. And yeah, well, you got your posse. What if your posse was God's blessings? And everywhere you went, God's blessings were on you and around you. And people were like, dude, watch out. Here he comes. He's got the posse of blessings. Notice what it says there very specifically in verses 3 through 6. These are the blessings. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. So you're going to be blessed no matter where you live. The fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crops of your land and your young livestock, calves and herds, all these things are going to be blessed. So your family will be blessed. Your fields will be blessed. Notice it said your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Your food supply, everything you need to sustain yourself will be blessed. And then notice what he says, verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. It's kind of a, you know, picture, a euphemism, a figure of speech. It's in everything you do. When you come into your house, you're going to be blessed. When you go out from your house, you're going to be blessed. So, I mean, the writer of Deuteronomy here is saying every little way, every little category of life, everything we could be blessed in, we will be blessed in if what? We fully obey, carefully follow all his commands. Pretty black and white, pretty easy, so it seems. Fully obey, carefully follow, and then we'll be blessed. And then notice how he goes on in verse 7. And I tried to emphasize it with my inflection when I read it, and I want to make sure you get it here. You might even underline these key words in your translation. Verse 7, it says, the Lord will grant. Okay, so who's going to do it? The Lord will. Yeah. Okay. The Lord will grant the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated by you. Not only that, they're going to come in one way. They're going to spread or leave in 7 ways. You're going to whoop them up big time. Verse 8, the Lord will send. So who's going to do it? Okay, this is your part where you need to pay attention and talk back to me. So who's going to do it?
Lord.
We'll send blessings on your barn. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people. Who's going to do it?
Lord.
Yeah. Look there, verse 11. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Who's going to do it?
The Lord.
Yeah. Verse 12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty. So who's going to do it?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Did they do anything themselves? Now we know that, yes, we've got stuff to do. We've still got to go to work. If God's going to bless our fields, go back to an agricultural analogy, like it just said here in Deuteronomy 28, we've still got to plant the seed, don't we? Planting the seed's not always easy. We've still got to tend the crops for weeds and other things like that and put up scarecrows to keep, you know, the varmints away or do whatever else we got to do. We've still got to do our work, but it's God that's going to bring the blessing. I hope you see that clearly. This doesn't say that you can sit at home and expect a paycheck. No, you know it doesn't work that way. If you want to get paid, you got to go to work, right? Whether you have a time clock or whether everybody just says, hey, they're here today, and they know you're here. You know, whether you have a human resources department or personnel committee or anything like that, you got to do your work. But God will bless you in your work if you fully obey and are carefully to follow all His commands. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. I wonder if this is where people got the idea of calling two sides of a coin a head and a tail. I know on our American coinage, you know, there's generally a face on one side. That's why it's the head. But there's nobody's backside on the other side. Why do we call it the tail? I wonder if it came right from here in Deuteronomy. The Lord's going to make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be on top, not the bottom. Kind of the head and tail analogy again, isn't it? I just realized something. I got so wrapped up here, I didn't even tell Pete back there to go to point number one. Thank you, Pete, for being patient. The blessings of obedience, but there was nothing for you to fill in there, so that's okay. Everybody out here is going, oh, he's finally getting on. That wasn't all introduction. We're not going to have a one-hour sermon. Well, we're not done yet. Do not turn aside, verse 14, from any of the commands I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Since we've been in Deuteronomy now 9 weeks, and many of you have been here for all or most of the 9 weeks, have you noticed something that God's continually warning them against? It was right there in verse 14. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. So that's kind of one part of it. And then the second part of it is this. They're related, but they're separate. Following other gods and serving them. Do you see what He's warning them against? He's warning them always to obey Him and not to follow false gods with a little g. He's warning them again and again and again. And folks, as we read Deuteronomy 28, particularly as you get to this very next verse and this very next section, and you hear these curses, and we're thinking, dude, God is being kind of harsh on these folks. These are His people, and He's telling him He's going to do all this to them. I mean, look at it, right? Just look in your Bible. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14 is the blessings. Now look at the curses. Verses 15 through how many? It goes all the way like almost four other pages. In my Bible, 68. 53 verses on cursing and only 14 on blessing? What kind of God is this? This is some mean old, nasty old, you know, curmudgeon God up there in heaven. No. This is a God that loves you enough to be honest with you, to tell you all the consequences of all the bad choices you can make. This is a God that will tell you, if you choose wrong, these consequences are going to happen. This is a God who loves you enough to spell it out in ugly terms. Number two on your outline are the curses of disobedience. The curses of disobedience. You see, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19 are parallel to verse 3 through 6, except it's the curse, right? So let's read verse 15 so we get the context. If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I'm giving you, all these curses will be upon you and overtake you. So previously it was going to be upon you and accompany you, kind of like they're with you, like a posse. Now they're going to be upon you and overtake you. Instead of like a posse, this is more like one guy running for the end zone and the whole defense gathers on and does a gang tackle, right? So this is a different picture. They were going to accompany you in blessings. Now they're going to whoop you up in cursings. Notice what it says. Verse 16, you will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. Verse 17, the fruit of your womb will be cursed. Crops, lambs, livestock, cursed. Verse 19, cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. Absolutely opposite. Some things we learn from these cursings. 2.1 on your outline. 2.1 is that everyone's judgment. These cursings are everyone's judgment. You think about the way we treat God. We all treat God, because we're human, I know I can say this categorically, talking about everyone here, we all treat God like rebels. Oh, no, Pastor Aaron, I'm a pretty nice guy. I mean, you know, I'm here at church and all these kind of things. We all treat God like rebels. We all treat Him like His undeserved favor, His grace for us can be enjoyed, but it doesn't have to be earned. And we all kind of have this double standard that, okay, God, you know, you're going to judge everybody pretty harshly, everybody else, pretty harshly, like, you know, the curses here in Deuteronomy 28. But, you know, God, because you really like me, you're not going to judge me as harshly. You know, God, because I've done these good things for you, you wouldn't judge me as harshly. God, I paid my tithe this week. You're not going to judge me as harshly. God, I even did a good deed when nobody even was looking and I didn't take any credit this week. You're not going to judge me so harshly. We do all these things with God. But God is a just God. And He's up there in heaven going, hey, there's blessings and there's cursings and there are consequences for your choices. Point number three, we're going to get more to this, but all of us have this false dichotomy we set up where we want everyone else to be judged more extremely than us, but in God's judgment, there's no exception. Point number two, point two on your outline is everything's judgment. So everyone is going to be judged, but what you see as you read, and we just read, you know, verses 20 through 24 here, but if you go on and read the rest of chapter 28, and like I said, you might not want to do it right now. There's some heavy, harsh, ugly stuff there. I mean, really ugly. I'm reading that, and I went to Pastor Sean's office. I said, dude, I can't preach this stuff from the pulpit. We got kids in the house. I mean, I'm serious, y'all. I ain't joking. You go home and read the rest of chapter 28, it will literally turn your stomach. Don't do it now. Now you're going to be all... I mean, it's bad. If you just as soon avoid it, don't read it. Just obey and don't read the bad stuff, right? But what it spells out is everything's judgment. Previously, it was everything's blessing. Now it's everything's judgment. Every type thing in their life, everything they touch would be judged. So God gives these judgments on everything they were to do. And it's interesting that the blessings and also the cursings are parallel to the country that they were moving into, because they were moving into a place that was fraught, filled up with Baalism. Baalism was a fertility religion. Baalism was about the blessing of your womb, the blessing of your field, grains coming down. And if you did all these things to please the Baals, the little g gods, then the little g gods Baals would make all these great things happen for you. And God's warning them about all these things in their life as well. And everything's going to be judged. 2.3 on your outline. However, it is avoidable judgment. It's avoidable judgment. As much as verse 15 through 68 is ugly and nasty and there are judgments in it, throughout it, there are pronouncements by God that they can avoid the judgment if they would obey. Look at verse 45. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God. In other words, obey and those curses won't come on you, right? Look at verse 62. You who are as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but a few in number because you did not obey. In other words, if you still want to be numerous, obey. So if we obey... Also, look at verse 46 and verse 47. We learn another reason. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of your prosperity. Unthankfulness, ingratitude. I don't know what you want to call it, Those are two big, long words there. But you're not thanking God and being joyful for the blessings He's given you. He's going to judge you. They don't appreciate God's mercies. What about us? Do we appreciate God's mercies in our life? Are we ingracious with a double standard? Finally, look with me at verse 58. Well, finally, for this point. If you do not carefully follow all the words of the law of this book, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send, and on and on and on and on. It's about obeying God, revering God. Our judgment's avoidable, folks. Let's look at our scripture memory verse for the month. This is a new one because we're in a new month, November here. Let's read the reference and the verse and the reference together. Let's all together. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 16. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 and 16. So that's two chapters away from where we're at right now. Moses is telling it to them again, as he's telling it to them here. Notice the couplets, life and prosperity versus death and destruction. And notice, for I command you today, love the Lord your God, walk in all His ways, keep His commands. There's a good three-point sermon for you right there. Love, walk, keep. Do what He says. If you do that, you're going to live and increase. If you do not, death and destruction are going to come your way. There are lessons for us as Christ followers in this. Point number three on your outline. Point number three. Because you're looking at this going, okay, Pastor, and this is some heavy stuff, and this is like old school Deuteronomy stuff. What does this have to do with me? What can I learn from this? Number 3.1. Every good gift is from God. Every good gift is from God. Can I get an amen? I've preached you some heavy stuff here in the past few minutes. We needed an amen there. Turn with me to James. So the epistle of James, all the way back to the back of your Bible. You know, if you go all the way to the back and you hit the maps there, and you come back a little bit to the left through Revelation and Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and there you're going to find James in there between the Peters and Hebrews. So James chapter 1, verse 17. Some of you know this one. There's even a song that went this way in the past. If you don't, it's a great one to memorize. James 1:17, what's it say? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from the God. You think about the situation in life of the Israelites who Moses was preaching to there in Deuteronomy 28. And all the blessings that He had done for them. He kept them as a people. And when there were just 70 of them, took them down into Egypt to preserve His people. And then they multiplied, even though they became slaves, more numerous than could be counted. And the Egyptians were afraid of them and didn't want to let them go. God sends all the miraculous plagues and signs and wonders. They let them go. They're on their way to the promised land. They rebel on the way. So they have to take a few laps around the mountain, more than a few, out in the Sinai Peninsula, to a whole generation dies before they're then ready to go into the promised land. And Moses is preaching to them. All the way they were in that wilderness, God provided for them every day. Cloud by day, fire by night to guide them, manna to eat, water from here, there, or wherever, dove, quail. I mean, all these things they needed, God provided for them every step of the way. And here He's giving them a land with wells they didn't dig and houses they didn't build and crops they didn't plant. And He's doing all this for them. How much of what you walked into in your life did you build? I mean, you were born into a family that you didn't help your mom and dad get educated or work hard. You were just fortunate enough to be born into it, weren't you? How much of your natural talent or ability did you give yourself? How much of getting the job that you have and the education you have did you do yourself? I know you had to do some hard work, but God gave you those abilities to get there. Every good gift is from God. God gives us every good gift. That's the first thing we can know. 3.2, many blessings and curses are the result of our response to God. Many blessings and curses are the result of our response to God. Now, notice I didn't say all. Many. We think about this black and white sort of theology of Deuteronomy. And many blessings and cursings in our life are the result of our own obedience or disobedience. And if you come to me in a counseling situation, you say, Pastor Aaron, my life's a mess. I want to listen to you to find out why your life is a mess, but I'm going to kindly try to find out, are you doing anything willfully, purposefully that you know is sinful that is causing your life to be a mess? Or have you made choices that are sinful choices and therefore you're having to deal with the consequences? I'm going to ask you those questions. And if you look throughout the Bible, you see this Deuteronomy-type theology in other places. You look in the prophets like Amos, and you see it's pretty black and white. You do this, this is going to happen. You do that, that's going to happen. Blessing on this side, curse on this side. You look in the book of Psalms. Many times in the book of Psalms, you see blessings on this side, cursings on this side. Even in the New Testament, remember when Jesus' disciples... And so these were Jesus' disciples. They should have known better, but keep in mind they were a little dense some of the time. It wasn't until after he left and the Holy Spirit came that they kind of got it. Even Jesus' disciples in John 9, when they come upon a man born blind, say to him in a very Deuteronomic type fashion, who sinned, this man or his parents? Remember, the guy's blind? And they want to blame it on a sin. Who sinned, this man or his parents? They're looking at the world through a black and white sort of lens. And so many blessings and curses result from our choices. That's right there in the Bible. 3.3 on your outline. Some blessings and curses are the result of God's plan for us. Now, this is the one we don't like. We don't like to think about the fact that, you know, God would cause tough circumstances in our life in order to work His will in our life. We don't like to think about the fact that God would allow difficult circumstances in our life to work His will in our life. I look around this congregation today and I know some of your stories. And I know the things that you've fought against. And none of it's your fault. It's not your fault that you got a dread disease. You didn't do anything to do it. It's not your fault that you lost that job. You didn't do anything to lose it. It's not your fault that you were born into a family that was abusive like that. You didn't choose it. Yet, God in His sovereignty can use all things, even terrible things, to work His will in us. You see that as well in books like Hosea and Isaiah, where even though the people did terrible, sinful things, God still chose to bless them. You see it even in Psalms, where bad choices were made, but God blessed them. You even see it as Jesus talks multiple times in the Gospels. And then the verse that I used for my newsletter article and posted on my website this week, slightly different, Deuteronomy 8:3. Where it says, He humbled you. So God humbled the children of Israel. God, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither knew you or your fathers knew, in order to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, God gave them hunger. God caused hunger in order to what? Teach them. Some blessings and curses are the result of God's plan for us. God does things at times to get our attention, to teach us. 3.4 on your outline. Blessings can become curses if we fail to glorify God. Blessings can become curses if we fail to glorify God. Folks, it's the truth. Blessings can become curses if we fail to glorify God. Listen to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He says, affliction is a persuasive teacher, and its lessons are not easily forgotten. Instead of drawing us close to God, life's prosperous circumstances can lead to spiritual apathy and indifference. How many of you, as God has blessed you with possessions, and God has blessed you with job, and God's blessed you with a savings account, and God's blessed you to be comfortable financially and physically, have somehow found yourself spiritually apathetic and forgetting God? It happens. But Raymond Brown says, a sovereign God cannot be silenced. If we will not hear Him in plenty, then poverty must be His messenger. Folks, we have to remember that all the blessings that God has given us are from Him. 3.1, every good gift is from God. And if we forget those blessings, then He may allow or cause hardship in our life in order to get our attention. Blessings can become curses if we fail to glorify God. 3.5 on your outline. The principle of the sower may seem false in the short term, but prove true in the long term. What am I talking about? Write down Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 7. And turn there with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I'm waiting to hear your pages turning. We're not done yet. The principle of the sower. It's a biblical principle. And this is where you find it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. So my point is, the principle of the sower may seem false in the short term. Here's what I mean by that. In this life, we look at things and we say it's not fair. Or even over a year's time, a decade's time, we look at things and we say, it's not fair. That is a bad, wicked, terrible person. And somehow they're blessed with all this good stuff happening in their life. Yet I'm trying to be righteous and somehow it seems like I'm cursed and all this bad stuff's happening in my life. In the short term, the principle of the sower may seem false, but in the long term, it'll be proven true. Because what do we know, folks? What do we know? That after we die, what is there? There's an afterlife. There's eternity. There's either heaven or hell. And there's going to be judgment that follows. Look at what it says. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Folks, there is accountability. And the principle of the sower will prove true. Follow God in all His ways. Keep all His commandments. Continue to serve and do good. Look at verse 9, Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are in the family of believers. Remember our food illustration from the beginning. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose your favorite meal ever? Or are you going to choose the grossest thing you can think of? Because every choice you make in every day, whether you're going to follow God and obey Him, or whether you're going to choose your own way and disobey God, is a choice for blessing or cursing, for better or worse. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that even in this text that seems so foreign to us and so harsh to us, that there are things that we can learn. And we thank You that You're honest enough with us to tell us the hard things, and that there are consequences for our choices. We thank You, God, that You're honest enough with us also to let us know that sometimes it's Your will, and that You're using bad circumstances to get our attention or to shape our character. It's not our fault, but you still have something you want us to learn. So God, wherever we sit today, may you speak to us or continue to speak to us by your Holy Spirit. And if there's any person here today who does not know if they've trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and knows that they are living a cursed life and would surely go to eternal punishment in hell should they perish, will they come and talk to me and trust Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior even now as we sing? So God, we come before you now in this time of invitation, wanting to obey you. We come in Jesus' name, amen.